What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
And Orgeron was really bringing girlfriends and the girlfriends' kids to practice and letting them participate in practice. Come on.
You're talking about the same guy that would put people in a fishing hole. Are you kidding me?
Down on the bayou?
Yeah.
Down. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Ed Orgeron out at LSU, part of a big college football conversation this morning. Texas, of course, in the mix. And the answer to your B&E fact of the day, Buck, the last team to be outside of a power conference and ranked as high as the Cincinnati Bearcats, who are number two in this week's AP Top 25, would be?
App State?
No. No, never got to number two. 2010, Gary Patterson's TCU Horned Frogs, who won the Rose Bowl and finished the season ranked number two in the AP Top 25.
Who the Sooners disposed of.
Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton and Gary Patterson's team there in 2010 at TCU, the last team to be this highly ranked as the Cincinnati Bearcats, and several people taking exception to my statement at the end of the hour that the Longhorns were the better team Saturday. They were not the tougher team. Look, I mean, look. Here's what we're trying to figure out how to explain it and have a conversation about, Buck. Now, do I think Texas is more talented than Oklahoma State? Yes, I think Texas has better players, big picture. But I think Oklahoma State had tougher players, more experienced players who, when the tough gets, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough got going on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Now, Oklahoma, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, I think, have pretty equal talent. I think Oklahoma has more talent than Texas, as a matter of fact. But the point of fact is, in both of these games against number three in the country and number eight in the country the last 2 weeks, with 17 minutes to play at the Cotton Bowl, Longhorns were up 41-23 and had controlled the football game. On Saturday, the Longhorns, with 15 minutes to play, were up 24-13 on their home field. And the question is, if you're talented enough and good enough to get to that point where for 45 minutes of a football game, you're in control of the game and in some cases dominating the game, how does it go from that to what we've seen so in back-to-back fourth quarters? That it's
because I just
believe
this is a group that can't play a four-quarter game right now. They're good for three quarters. They're good for a half. They start out fast. They don't know what to do. They can't handle when they have success. What do? You start getting goofy penalties when it gets late. You start getting mentally soft. That's where they are. They're mentally soft, and they don't have enough good players. They don't. They don't have enough good talent. I would have probably taken four of those offensive linemen on the opposing team in the fourth quarter or the second quarter or the first quarter than I would with the offensive line at University of Texas. They're not good. They're okay. They're just okay right now. They really are.
Well, look, I mean, this is Steve Sarkisian's program now, and
he's going to have to change a lot of that. He's going to have to recruit more talented football players themselves.
And that becomes the question. Big picture, yes, you have to recruit, and this was a huge recruiting weekend, which is part of the reason it was so disappointing.
But my expectations are he's going to call some plays to out-scheme other teams that may be physically better, even in the fourth quarter. You got a seven-year tight end or a six-year tight end. You've got a big, tall guy, and they never get used. They get used on some trick deal, fake run-pass option down the goal line when it doesn't matter. Where are those guys in the fourth quarter when you got to get third and six? You know what I mean? Hey, where are your tight ends? They're talented enough that they should be out in the pass patterns, and you won't have Joshua Moore dropping balls all the time. Depend on some of those guys that are six-year players, and you got a tight end at 6'6". How come he only catches one pass, and that's down in the end zone for a scoring game?
Yeah.
He should be used in the fourth quarter when they're going to cover up everybody else. You know why? Because they don't cover those guys. Because they don't do anything. They don't go out in patterns.
Typically, they're staying in to help block because the offensive line's
that's
having
true.
A hard time.
That's true. You're all max protection a lot.
And that's that. I mean, when I say this is Sark's program, he's got to figure this out. I mean, strength conditioning has to be an issue. Recruiting has to be an issue. But yes, to survive for five more games this season, they may have to, you know, they're going to have to do things differently.
They can't look like a team where they're playing in 100-degree temperature on Saturday when it's 75, 80 degrees in a perfect day. they can't be gassed out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
that looks terrible.
They were physically manhandled in that half. And,
yes.
In that fourth quarter. Again, not the whole second half. They were offensively inept. After one good drive in the second half, they were inept the rest of the way.
They had 17 plays, E, in that last.
Oh, they were horrible.
That they didn't come up with any. There was nothing good. There was nothing good called.
Well, and I think if you heard the Craig Way report just now, Craig, that was the audio of Sark saying, this is the philosophical conundrum we can talk more about in Coach's Corner coming up. But Sark, his lean is, when we're struggling, let's go back to the basics. Go back to things we do well and execute basics. What I think needs to happen, just my opinion, would be you have to have something new. You got to have something that the defense has not seen yet.
Yeah, they already know what you go back to, basically.
Right. Well,
and they've stuffed that now for a while.
But you kind of, I mean, I think you can understand Sark's mindset of, hey, let's do something we do well.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to call a screen. Somebody's going to let somebody loose too quick.
Right.
And next thing you know, the quarterback's sacked.
So what you're saying is Sark then has to call a play that, you know, they haven't run and you know, that's new. And he doesn't even trust him right now to run what's basic. I mean,
yeah.
that's
and you expect Casey to be better than he was late, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bad game by Casey.
It wasn't a good, no, not at all. Even when the game was still winnable,
right.
He made through an interception that you really can't throw. He's got to take the underneath pass there and not force it to Worthy. And frustrating at all levels for Texas. We'll talk about it with you throughout the course of the morning. Longhorns have dropped out of the AP Top 25 this week. Obviously, they're 4-3 now. They'll head into their bye week. And look, you know, they're coming out of the bye in 2 weeks with Baylor. Baylor also has a bye coming up. They're coming off a big win over BYU, and they're now ranked 20th in the poll for Dave Aranda. They're sitting at 6-1. And getting better.
And what they are is they are a physical group in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that is the kryptonite for Texas right now. So we'll take your opinions on what is happening in these final 15 minutes of football games for the Longhorns. Let's get to the rest of the top headlines of your busy Monday morning. UBO Business Services. We'll talk plenty of Texas football coming up, but we will start with other college football news. We're big news out of Baton Rouge this morning. Official word now that Ed Orgeron will not return as LSU's head coach in 2022. Orgeron is expected to finish out the 2021 season with the Tigers. He's going to be bought out for almost $20 million, a stunning fall for the 60-year-old Orgeron. Led LSU to a 49-17 record in the past five seasons, including the 2019 National Championship. NFL, what a football game in New England yesterday. That's where Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys escaped Foxborough with a thrilling 35-29 win in overtime. Cowboys led 17-14 entering the fourth quarter. It's a good back-and-forth game. That's when the fun began in the fourth quarter. Teams traded five scores in the final 15 minutes, including three in the last 2.5 minutes, last of which was a 49-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein to send it to overtime. On their first possession of OT, needing just a field goal to win it, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys ended it with an exclamation point, 33-yard touchdown pass, Dak Prescott to C.D. Lamb, and that was the ball game. Cowboys win it by 6. Cowboys are now 5-1 on the year, their first win in New England since 1987. Prescott finishes the day with 445 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, but and keep in mind, he did leave the game in a walking boot on that final play. Apparently, Prescott landed awkwardly, suffered some sort of calf injury, extent of which is uncertain. He left the stadium in that boot. He will be reevaluated today. Dallas does have their bye this week. Also in the NFL yesterday, Houston Texans drubbed in Indianapolis 31-3. They're 1-5 on the year. Arizona remains the only unbeaten team in pro football. They improved to 6-0 yesterday. Ultra impressive win in Cleveland. They get to dominate the Browns there. We'll get all of the NFL highlights throughout the course of the morning here on V&E. In the baseball playoffs, how about the Atlanta Braves? Back-to-back walk-off wins in the NLCS. One in walk-off style on Saturday night. And then last night, Eddie Rosario, RBI single in the ninth inning to beat the Dodgers 5-4. They're up 2-0. ALCS is knotted at a game each for Houston and Boston. Game 3 tonight at Fenway Park. Red Sox will send left-hander Edwin Rodriguez to the hill. Astros counter with Jose Urquidy.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Buck, what a game in New England yesterday. I mean, you know, the Cowboys, they end up covering this. They're now 6-0 against the line.
Yes, they are.
Because they won with a touchdown, not the field goal. But I thought you'd what a fun game. I mean, the Cowboys were their own. The Cowboys had like 12 penalties. I mean, Connor Williams, the former Longhorn, struggled.
He's just a holding machine.
Well, then he got a personal foul call late in that game that really hurt them. It felt like it was going to hurt them, but the Cowboys end up winning the game.
That was a great bootleg call right there. That's a hard pass, too. going to the, I mean, the way he came off of that bootleg, the way he comes off his bootlegs, he throws and lands really funny a lot of times.
Yeah.
Awkwardly on the opposite foot.
Yeah, Cowboys, there, you heard Romo and Jim Nantz talking about it on the broadcast, or Brad Sham here on the horn. I mean, it's just, they're so dynamic offensively. They're really, really hard to stop. And the Cowboys stopped themselves a lot of the game yesterday with penalties. And whenever they would make a mistake is when they would not move the football. And that's why it was a close game late. Of course, because they got a bad turnover. They went for it on fourth down on the first series of the game, which they didn't get. Zeke was short. And then they end up giving a short field touchdown to the Patriots. And the Patriots hung around. And gosh, how about the swing of the game? When Patriots have the ball and a chance where they feel like they're going to go try to win the game, and Mac Jones throws a pick six to Stephon Diggs, who at this point would be the defensive player of the year in the NFL.
For sure.
The voting was today. He's been unbelievable. Pick six for a touchdown. Looks like the Cowboys are going to ice this thing. We'll give Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick credit. They come right back
at him
and run a double move at Stephon Diggs and beat him for a 75-yard touchdown pass on the next play. The kid Kazee's got to take a better angle as a safety on that play too, by the way.
That would have helped.
But that was part of that thrilling last 2.5 minutes. And then the Cowboys kick the field goal because the Patriots get the touchdown and the two-point conversion, which puts them up 29-26. Cowboys go 40 yards. Dak Prescott engineers a pretty incredible drive to get them to the field goal. And give credit, you know,
this Cowboys got pressure yesterday.
This is how good the Cowboys are on offense. Cedric Wilson is their fourth receiver, number one.
Yeah, you don't think that guy takes advantage of his opportunity?
Did you see the catch he made on 4th and 4?
Yep.
4th and 4. If he doesn't make that catch, Buck, where Dak threw it back over the other shoulder and he had to alter his body and go up and get it. It was a good throw in hindsight, but it took a pretty incredible catch for number one. If he doesn't catch that ball, game's over. Cowboys lose. I mean, that was 4th and 4.
He's fantastic catch and run guy, too.
And he's your fourth receiver. Michael Gallup's not even playing. I mean, that's how deep the Cowboys are at receiver, tight ends, running backs, offensive lines playing good outside of Connor Williams' penalties. They are they're really good.
And they get a bunch of guys back now, too.
Well, that's right. I mean, they, unlike the Longhorns hit the bye week and got a stew on back-to-back miserable fourth quarters and dreadful performances. The Cowboys get to sit on a win in Foxborough, their first win there in 30 years, or 25 years. Or 35 years, I should say. What, 1987? That's been a long time. And you get time to get, you know, some guys back healthy. You know, the Dak Prescott calf injury, I don't think they think it's too serious, but, you know, that's the one thing that can derail this Cowboys team right now from where they are, would be an injury to somebody like Dak, who's playing at an MVP level.
No, they can't have Dak get hurt. That's it.
I called him Stephon Diggs. Trevon Diggs, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to watch Stephon Diggs tonight, his brother, for the Buffalo Bills, who might be the, you know, it's the Cowboys and Bills and Cardinals right now, is the three, and Buccaneers,
yep,
four best teams in pro football.
And Kellen Moore, you better enjoy him because he'll get a gig then next year.
Yeah, man.
Somebody will want that guy calling plays.
How quickly things have changed.
Yeah.
And people were calling for Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, and this team's playing really good. We'll get to see Buffalo tonight, who might be the best team in pro football, at least statistically they are.
And the Cowboys run the ball. Zeke is running the ball really well.
Yes, he is.
And he's getting a break with the other cat that's just as good right now.
Yeah. I mean,
they're a nice 1-2 punch.
They're really talented.
They use their tight ends. They throw to their tight ends now.
They're overwhelming offensively, and if they can stay healthy there, that's going to continue. And by the way, they'll get Lael Collins back after the bye. He comes back to play right tackle after his suspension. You know, that'll provide some depth there. DeMarcus Ware is going to be coming back at some point. Michael Gallup will be coming back. And then on defense, you know, somebody on the text line says Randy Gregory balling. Yeah, I mean, they're getting pressure. You're right. Defense continues to play, you know, above, way beyond what anybody expected this year. So Cowboys are sitting right where they want to be, atop that division, that horrible division. Everybody else in their division is bad at this point.
Giants got crushed.
Oh, they were hapless against the LA Rams yesterday. Washington got crushed by Kansas City. Philadelphia lost on Thursday Night Football, so Cowboys are going to walk away with that division. Now it becomes about home field advantage and those kind of things as this season progresses, and staying healthy. It's going to be the number one thing for the Cowboys. All right, Buck, dive into the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Our buddy Tom McKay and his team. How did we do on our three gold star picks, Buck, on Friday?
Okay, I had Baylor, of course.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Was my big one. University of Colorado, another winner.
Winner.
And I had the Arizona Cardinals.
That's three straight.
Yeah. That was good stuff.
So you went 3-0. So you're back over 500 now. Through 21 picks, you are 11-10.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Arizona Cardinals, by the way, speaking of coaches in our coaches' corner, brought to you by avconsultations.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know our friend Johnny Rogers, JR?
Sure.
Randy Rogers?
How about
Jeff Rogers essentially gets credit for a coaching win yesterday. Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator.
Your assistant head coach.
An assistant head coach with Cliff Kingsbury out for COVID.
Right.
Vance Joseph coaches the defense, so they kind of co-coached yesterday. And they went into Cleveland and smacked around the Browns. And by the way, Baker Mayfield is hurt. Baker Mayfield's playing with a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder.
From that tackle that day still?
Well, no.
From that interception?
And it got re-injured yesterday.
Oh,
J.J. Watt took him down and forced a fumble. And on it, he got bent sideways on that shoulder. It's his left shoulder.
Right.
And it looked like he was going to be out, but he came back. They shot that thing up. But he's injured. Nick Chubb didn't play yesterday for Cleveland. So that was a pretty major factor in that football game. But Arizona, the thing that was impressive yesterday was the defense. I mean, they just swarmed Baker Mayfield and the Browns yesterday. Kyler Murray threw four touchdown passes. They do a lot well in Arizona right now.
They play pretty good defense right now, too.
That was the key. I mean,
yeah.
They went into that game. You realize the Cardinals went into that game as the 31st ranked run defense in pro football against a very run-heavy Cleveland team, and they stuffed them.
You know who else plays pretty good defense? The Georgia Bulldogs. In any brand of football, that Georgia defense is...
Oh, it's the best defense, college defense we've seen in a decade at least.
It is ridiculous, man.
They beat Kentucky 30-13 on Saturday.
Swarman, the quarterback. Wow.
Well, they got off to a slow start and still dominated. Because, I mean, that's a great defense allows you to win all games. And, you know, that's and to finish the Cleveland thought, Cleveland only had 73 yards rushing yesterday. They were the number one rushing offense coming into the game, and Arizona stuffed them.
Yeah, I'm loving my linebacker.
Zaven Collins.
Oh, my goodness. All those guys can run. They're all physical.
Isaiah Simmons. J.J. Watt is playing at a pretty high level. And they played yesterday without Chandler Jones, their best pass rusher.
Yep.
He was out for COVID. So, yes, Arizona really good. Dallas Cowboys are really good. Buffalo Bills really good. And I think Tampa is in there somewhere with the great Tom Brady. So we'll keep an eye on the NFL. Buck, in our coach's corner, we are from Steve Sarkisian. Here is... we got to hear Sark. We heard him earlier talking about learning his team and trying to figure out how to push the right buttons. Let's hear Sark on how to get the offense rolling in the second half. Obviously, the last 2 weeks, offense has been stymieing after halftime.
Well, you just try to get back to doing things that you know they believe in and the things that we executed earlier in the game to give them a chance to find that groove, find that rhythm again, which is what you try to do. You know, you try to get the offensive line some confidence. You try to get, you know, the quarterback some confidence, the runner some confidence, everybody. And there's that fine line of what's the best call for the situation, but also what's the best call for the players to go out and execute and get some confidence.
Well, and that becomes the philosophical question in Coach's Corner, Buck. Is that the right way to go, or does there have to be a new script? A new script of some kind? This is the adjustment to their adjustments that they're going to make on you?
Well, for me... You know, coaching-wise, coach, they've seen your plays. They know what you do. They know if you're going to get back into some of your bread and butter runs or passes, they've already seen them. You're not tricking them. You're not. And if your guys feel like that's they're confident in those plays, that's fine. But the other team's pretty confident they can stop those plays too. So I think you got to come up with something new. If I'm looking at myself coaching over the last 2 weeks, I just know in the fourth quarter I have to come with something that. Get somebody open for my team. I have to scheme something. I got to be part of the solution, not my team and not my guard or whatever. They're going to have problems. They just are. They get overwhelmed by defenses. They're not going to run the same runs with Bijan. Although still with him, he still needs to touch the ball even more. To me, somehow, some way, that you got to scheme that certain kind of run you want with him, and let him get into space and let him make a spin off a guy and make a miss. But if you think you're just going to turn around and hand the ball off and you're going to go downhill against teams, your guys aren't physical enough. They're not mentally tough enough, and they're not physically tough enough. It's a two-way street when I talk about the – it's not just the mental part of not holding leads and not knowing what to do in the fourth quarter. It's the physical part. They're not physical enough in the fourth quarter.
Well, and that's
the other teams turn that around on them both ways.
Well, that's why I say the tougher team wins these games.
Yes.
Mentally and physically, and, you know, again, I point out the Texas defense, I thought, played a good three quarters.
Then in that fourth, though.
And part of that is the complimentary football Sark talks about.
Right. I mean,
Texas went three and out four straight times. And people talk about Bijan getting touches. Bijan got a touch on each of those four possessions, but it didn't go anywhere. And then when they were punting after three plays.
A lot of first down run. No play action off of Bijan. Right. Not enough for me.
And so for people that we didn't get enough touches, well, they went three and out on five of their last six series and then had an interception, Buck, on the seventh.
Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of plays. I mean, you're talking about 12 or 15 plays. Bijan touched the ball on four or five of them, but they went nowhere. They just didn't run a lot of plays, which led to the defense wearing out and the defense playing terrible in the fourth quarter. It was also a defense that was playing without both starting linebackers, DeMarvion Overshown and Luke Brockermeyer, in the fourth quarter when Jalen Warren ran all over them, and they got outgained 171-1 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's embarrassingly bad, and that's the question in Coach's Corner this coaching staff has to be, you know, trying to find answers for.
There's got to be a place for the tight ends. I don't understand why they have them. If you don't, I know what they have them for, protection. But they got to get out and pass routes. They can catch 6 and 7 yard balls where guys are dropping. Well,
there's got to be a new script for the fourth quarter. There
right.
just does. We're highlighting the last 2 weeks because it's been so miserable against now two top 10 teams. But the fourth quarter has been a problem all year.
I'm going to tell you, Oklahoma State's offensive line were mean in the fourth quarter.
They were.
Those guys were rolling guys. And they were giving them the business late too, because Warren was running over guys. I mean, there were some guys that had one on one Z. They weren't winning those battles.
No,
nobody was knocking that guy backwards or sideways. He was knocking him towards the end zone.
Well, Mike Gundy knows exactly the identity of his football team. It's
yes.
veteran. It's not dynamic.
It's about physicality
but
with
it's
them.
It's about wearing it down four
yes.
quarters, and that's where that pick six before the half was so big. Texas could have really extended that lead and maybe buried Oak State.
What
at
happened
home.
In that? What happened after that? Was there an opportunity for a field goal? They just run the club. Texas just run the clock out again.
We'll get into that coming up, because you're right. The end of the first half was disappointing because the Longhorns were looking to go up three scores, and instead it was Oklahoma State that put two scores on the board before the half, which, you know.
Is that a run the clock out deal?
Yeah, I'll get you details on that coming up because we've got to get to the timeout. But yes, end of the first half was poor, but they righted the ship to start the second half and then collapsed at the stadium on the biggest recruiting weekend of the year.
Ooh.
That had to be disappointing, I would say. But at the same time, if you're the coach, you think, hey, we really need you. We really, really need you. You saw that. We were doing good.
If I'm an offensive lineman, I'm good. I'd like to come.
Yeah. But, we'll get into that, too. Plus, your hot or not topics before the end of the hour. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday on BNE.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn, recapping a busy weekend with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and plenty of all three once again for the Longhorns. There were some good, then there was some bad, and then there was some downright ugly, and the ugly would be the final seven possessions offensively and defensively for Texas. And a promising game again dissolves into a bitter disappointment for Texas, who falls to 4-3 on the year. Again, the Longhorns in control of the game, it felt like, for large chunks. And even in much like the Oklahoma game the week previous, there were times where it felt like they were going to blow the thing out and step on the throat of their opponent and finish the deal. Did not happen. They end up losing the football game 32-24. With, again, outscored in the fourth quarter this time, 16-0.
Yeah, I never felt comfortable in the third quarter. There wasn't a time where I felt comfortable with this group, because once the fourth quarter hit, and the ball didn't go anywhere, it didn't move anywhere, I just started noticing Oklahoma State's kids were just
getting fired up.
They were fresh. They were fresh when they started running the ball, when they started coming downhill. It was just a different tempo than the way Texas was playing. It was still that bend but don't break, but man, when they started hitting you, you know, with those, and they weren't even jabs. Those things started to become haymakers in the fourth quarter when that kid got the football in his hand. I mean, he had a lot of yards. You could just, and guys were, they were sprawled out all over the place on the ground.
Yeah, it was not a good performance by the Longhorns. But that's the frustrating part of
Are they good enough?
Well, are they good enough? Are they? Because there's a text that says, so far, completely unimpressed with the new coaching staff. PK looks overmatched. Sarkisian makes no adjustments when the other team adjusts. Well, those are true statements, but I have seen improvements since the Arkansas game, and I've seen a team get better in key places, especially schematically. I mean, the way they're early in games and for the first three quarters of games, mm-hmm. that they're using their personnel to take leads. And that, look, this is the conversation Texas coaches have to be having of how are we good enough
right
to build big leads through three quarters and then collapse in the fourth quarter.
Because they play like they're just trying to hold on. They don't play like they're trying to stretch out a lead. They play like they're like these guys are just good enough to hold. They're not good enough to hold on. They're not physical enough to just hold on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always got to be gas. It can be never breaks with this team. They don't play well like that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're passive on defense, that and you're holding on and you're just trying to hold on to the lead instead of in the attack mode. There was a stretch there in the second quarter where they were attacking and getting pressure on Sanders, and even the ball carrier wasn't dragging guys around. But in the fourth quarter, I don't know why you start to hold on then, because you got a lead. No, that's not the time to hold on. That's the time to put that's when you put the gas on. And they don't seem to do that. They seem to still hold on. They wait for everybody else to make a mistake.
Well, and I hear, you know, listening to Sark afterwards talk about, you know, his read of the mentality of his team. You know, they're front runners. Like they're fair weather players. When things are going well, like you're talking about in the first half, and the case in point there, you're up 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving the ball. Your defense just caused a turnover. DeSean Jameson picks off a bad Spencer Sanders throw, and you're moving the ball down the field, and you've got a chance to extend the lead. And on a big third down, your quarterback makes a really bad read and throws a pick six, which, you know, that was a bad throw. And so instead of being up 24-3 or 20-3, you're now 17-10. Well, how do you respond to that, right?
Right.
Well, that's adversity.
Right, that's when your defense has to step in and make those plays.
Well, next series, because you just threw a pick six, so you get the ball back because you just let them score. So you get the ball, and what are you going to do now to right that ship? Well, Texas, Casey Thompson incomplete, or throws a pass to Xavier Worthy for a one-yard loss. Casey Thompson sacked for a six-yard loss.
Was that
Casey
the swing screen to...
Yeah, didn't get blocked on the outside. Then Casey got sacked for a six-yard loss, then an incomplete pass. So you're not only did you just not extend the lead to three
going
scores...
backwards.
Now you went back 7 yards.
Yep.
On three plays, and you punt, and it's Oklahoma State who then moves the ball down the field. Oklahoma State hadn't moved the ball the whole half. They've got three offensive points on the board for an entire first half of football, and now you've given them the momentum back with a pick six and then a three and out. They go down and kick a field goal before the half, so it's 17-13 at the half. In what could have been, it was a pretty dominant first half up until 5 minutes to go when you throw a pick six. I mean, and then you fall apart and then play it through this.
And tell me again what happened just before half. Did they just run the clock out?
No. Well, when the Texans got the ball back, they had 8 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
8 seconds, and they ran for Bijan for 10 yards. Well, no, they ran Bijan for 10 yards, and that was the end of the half. They started the last series of the
only okay, 8 seconds
with
left.
8 seconds on the clock. So they went to half. But they went to half and then came out, got a stop, and then went 75 yards on six plays and scored a touchdown. Bijan Robinson, 38 yards for a touchdown, and they're back up 24-13. Again, front runners. Everything's good. The script's on.
Right.
Whatever you did at the halftime, hey, let's go back to these plays. Let's work on this. And the Texas, and they, you know, again, extend the lead to double digits. But obviously we now know that they didn't score again, and they didn't move the ball again. They went four straight three and outs, which, you know, got the defense right back on the field, and a defense that had played pretty well through three quarters. Remember, the total stats through three quarters, Oak State had gained 217 total yards, had no offensive touchdowns. In the fourth quarter, 171 yards. A defense that, you know, mentally gave in, physically gave in, playing without both starting linebackers, all of a sudden gets run over, and the offense can do nothing to rev up and help out the defense at that point. They kept going three and out.
When you lose those linebackers, I mean, you got three guys in the transfer portal. Somebody has to be good enough, or why are they even here? What are they here for, depth? If they're here for depth, okay, good. Just give them a uniform and have them sit down, which it looks like they're doing. But there are guys, I mean, I watched Thornton play. I watched some of those guys. Why aren't they making plays? Is it they don't get enough reps when things are going good? They're sitting on the sidelines and you think you got good enough players that are in there right then and there?
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of guys and I question why they're still in games.
Well, look, I think it's fair to say that the team is front runner, and is the coaching staff front runner? I don't. We're learning this staff as they're learning their team at the same time. And
is it truly all gas?
Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody points out Keelan Robinson, one carry, 25 yards. He had a great play early in the game when things were going well,
right, and never to be seen again.
This is the question of, and this is where Sark's philosophy has to evolve here, right? I mean, you can't. You can't sit there and say, well, we go back to our basics and these are the plays we're good at, so we go back to them. You have to give your opponent credit that he's now adjusted to you.
Yeah, they're making adjustments.
I mean, the punches you were landing in the first few rounds of the fight.
There you go.
Now they've adjusted.
Right.
What do you got next? What do you got next?
I would say that, especially in the fourth quarter. You got to give me something where you schemed up a few plays where guys are open, or there's a guy going down the sideline or an out and up or whatever that you help out. Or Keenan Robinson's not just running jet sweeps. He's in the slot, and he is taking off and opening it up underneath for some of your other guys. Or why do you have tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, I think
don't use them. Just give me somebody else.
These are all questions that have to be addressed in the off week. I mean, you really do. You now know your team through seven games.
Yeah, and mentally tough guys like Joshua Moore should be mentally tough that when you lose a guy, when you lose Whittington, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to do something really special for the team. This is not my opportunity to start dropping balls. I got to make plays now. That's why I got this opportunity. Somebody got hurt, and how do you make the best of the opportunities? There are too many guys that when one guy goes out, they don't take advantage of the opportunities that they get.
Yeah. I think we came in last Monday in a game that the Longhorns were leading 41-23 with 17 minutes to play.
Right.
And the defense collapsed, and I think the offense was a part of that, but more on the defense. This is a game I'm putting on the offense. I know everybody's mad about the defense in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a defense that was without both starting linebackers, and that's going to hurt them
no,
badly.
No, I'm looking at a play-calling head coach that's supposed to be good at the calling
that's right.
plays.
And I'm looking at an offense that had put 24 points on the board. Their offense had given the opponent 7 on a pick 6, and you have an opportunity to continue to move with all gas, and you go 4 and out. You go 3 and out 4 straight series. 4 consecutive series.
Was it 4 in a row?
4 in a row from the end of the middle of the third quarter
to the beginning of the fourth
to the end of the beginning. Well, it became they didn't move the ball at all in their last 7 series at all, which I believe led to the defense wearing down, and I think you put them right back on the field over and over and over.
Yeah, you got to know what your defense is.
Yes, and they're not a great defense to begin with.
Right.
And I thought they played a pretty admirable game through 3 quarters. To hold Oklahoma State, who's not a great offense by any stretch, to just over 200 yards and 0 offensive touchdowns. If you told any fan, any observer, that going into the fourth quarter, Texas would have an 11-point lead, they've held Oklahoma State out of the end zone offensively, and to just over 200 yards, that's a game at home you go win. You go win the game, and Texas did not. And that comes down to the coaches, that comes down to the mentality of this football team. Because they're good enough to build those leads over 2 top 10 teams in the country, why can't they finish them is the question that has to be answered. Or it's going to be a lost season. It's going to be a failure of a season.
Because everybody's going to come after you now. Everybody's going to run the ball. As I said, everybody wants to run against Texas no matter what.
Yes.
To see if they're up to the task. And they're definitely in the fourth quarter, if they're close in a game, they're not going to all of a sudden start throwing the ball. They're going to get back to the run game and see if you want to tackle anybody.
What Oklahoma did, even in the Oklahoma game, there were some, those 50-50 balls we talked about a lot that could have gone either way. That wasn't this. This was just a team that was physically tougher and mentally superior to you.
After your
when
week
it mattered
off,
most.
Dave Aranda's team is going to be doing the same.
Oh, I know. And there's no more, I don't want to say excuses, but you know what your team is.
Yes.
Know what you are. You have an extra week now to figure out how to transition from a team that's good for a half or 3 quarters and figure out how to finish football games.
Right.
And what it's going to take to do that.
Especially when you got a lead.
Well, I mean, gosh, biggest game this week in Big 12 is Oklahoma State plays Iowa State, right? I mean, that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You have your bye, then you come out, you play Baylor, but then you got to turn around and go to Ames, Iowa.
That's
play
right.
Iowa State. I mean, those next two teams are built very similarly to Oklahoma State. You know, they're built on toughness. They're built on running the football. They're built on playing, tough defense. And, you'll continue to have these losses and these frustrating Monday conversations if you can't
figure
out how to finish
games. Yeah, Oklahoma State looked like they were excited to play defense in the fourth quarter. And I guess they were, if you're going 3 and outs.
Well, because the momentum's a real thing, and you could sense it. Oklahoma State, who was on the ropes at times in the first half, the pick 6 kind of bailed them out. I mean, that game felt like it was about to be a blowout. Really did. When DeSean Jameson picked the ball off, it felt like, okay, crowd's going crazy. We're going to go down and score. We're going to put this thing up, 24-3.
How was the crowd, by the way?
It was good. It was good.
The whole day?
Well, it was quiet in the second half because they were mad as hell.
Stumbling and bumbling around?
Well, I mean, for half it was loud and it was good. And then, when Bijan scored to put up the 24th point,
right.
or the 23rd point, as it were, They were into it. But from that on, it was just a demoralizing, agonizing hour and a half of football to watch.
There's some bad penalties in that game, too.
I mean, it was Arkansas on steroids for the last quarter and a half, wow. Which I don't know.
You didn't think it could get much worse than that.
No. And because that, and that's the improvement that we've seen from Texas. Arkansas was four quarters of bad football. These are back-to-back games of three quarters of good football and a quarter of dreadful football. How does that happen? How does that happen? You've talked about it. Physically, do they have enough good players? Strength, conditioning,
and I know mental toughness. I know mental toughness where they are. Yeah, yeah. As you said, they're. I mean, I don't. That always bothers me. That makes you even madder when you think of them. But you said the word. I've never said the word front runner, because I try to stay away from that one. That's almost like it's not like you give in. You just give. You give up. You know, giving in is when you get battered in a ring. Yeah, somebody's going to give in. Most fights, somebody gives in. They don't basically give up, but they do give in. And this team
gives in.
They give in way too soon, yeah. In the battle, you know?
Agreed. All right, we'll talk about it with you, the good, the bad, and the ugly from that game. Also, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. And the Cowboys.
That's a great game by the Dallas Cowboys, because when you do that to Bill Belichick, when you throw for 400 yards against that guy, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's hard to do against any Belichick team, no matter what. Even when they're offensively, they're just okay. They're going to eventually be pretty good. The quarterback for New England Patriots is pretty good, too. That's a young guy that's going to get better.
Work in progress there. That would have been a big win for them if they could have gotten it. And that's now two.
That's a big win for Dallas to go there and win.
Huge win for Dallas. But it's think about it for New England side. They had a chance to beat Tampa and Dallas at home, and both got away. That's going to put them behind the eight ball moving forward. But they are showing signs with Mac Jones in New England. All right, we'll come back. Isaiah Collier, our soon-to-be award-winning producer, will lead us through the hot or not topics of this beautiful Monday morning. Glad you're with us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not. Isaiah Collier will lead us through some topics we've missed halfway through the show so far. Hot. Cowboys, red hot. Dak Prescott, more passing yards against a Bill Belichick Patriots team than any quarterback ever in an overtime victory, but not hot. Dak is in a walking boot now with a calf injury. Fortunately for Dallas, there's a bye week coming for them.
The Atlanta Braves are hot.
Atlanta Braves with back-to-back walk-off wins. Not hot on the Astros, even though it's 1-1, Buck.
I
don't think the Astros have enough outs in their arms right now. I didn't like that Dusty Baker had a quick hook on Framber Valdez in game one. You know, the Astros came back and won the game. He was out after, what, three innings?
Mm-hmm.
Two and a half innings?
Come on, it's the Sox.
And the McCullers injury is just devastating. I don't know if they have enough. They've got to go with Jose Urquidy's got to be really, really good tonight for them, because I don't know who's going to start game three. It's probably Zach Greinke. We'll see. Astros 1-1. Braves up 2-0 on the Dodgers. So the DSs and the CSs both compelling for sure. And in addition to Dallas, Buck, and the hot side of things in the NFL, Arizona's really good.
What happened to the Chargers?
Tampa's really good. And, Baltimore. Huge win for Baltimore after the unbelievable comeback over the Colts a week on Monday Night Football. They turn around and wallop in the Chargers. I don't know, Buck and Zay, that, sometimes we see a West Coast team go east and play a noon kick. And just
they were
like
a little bit of a dud, weren't they?
It looked like they're sleepwalking a little bit. I mean, that's 9 a.m. body clock time for them in Baltimore. And they just got steamrolled by the Ravens. And that did not look like the Chargers team we had seen for the previous 4 weeks. And was just a bad game. I don't know. But that looked to be a heavyweight matchup that wasn't. And same thing with Cleveland and Arizona. Arizona was great. Cleveland was dreadful in that game. Isaiah Collier is our soon-to-be award-winning producer. Zay, how was your weekend?
Pretty good, E. I got to eat that donut burger from Mighty Fines that Buck's been talking about, and it was serious.
Was it good? Okay, so this is a donut, glazed donut as a bun.
Yeah, Round Rock donut.
Round Rock donut.
Ooh.
As a bun with...
with the meat?
Meat patty, cheese. Did you go ahead and do the ice cream also, Zay?
Yeah, because you insisted more than once that I had to do that. So I got both, and I'm just moving a little slower today, but I'm good.
And I've been told, forget about those things for me now, the shakes. the Dairy Queen.
Well, we'll explain that.
The Blizzard.
Bucky had a pretty scary episode on Friday night into Saturday morning. We'll get you some details on that coming up, but glad the Buck is here, no doubt about that. But
I'm glad the Buck is here, period.
Yeah. Prayers and thoughts, my friend, but we'll revisit that. Let's get Zay in here with his topics we've missed halfway through the show. Zay, what have we missed?
Here we go again. Hot or not, Hall of Famer Jackson Mahomes is back at it again.
This is Patrick's
fellas.
Brother?
Patrick's brother,
okay.
Yes. Yesterday, the Chiefs were in Washington playing the football team, and they had a memorial for the late and great Sean Taylor, the star strong safety that they had that passed away a few years ago when somebody entered his home and murdered him.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a memorial for Sean Taylor, so no one in football team history could wear 21 anymore. So they had a logo of the memorial on the field, a big number 21, that Jackson Mahomes thought it was a good idea to do a TikTok dance, because that's what he does, on the memorial.
What?
Yeah, E. Yeah. He had to apologize afterwards. He took the TikTok down because everybody was killing him on social media. And this is just classic Jackson Mahomes being the ridiculous person he is.
That's that. I thought the most ridiculous thing I saw this weekend was Tennessee fans.
Yes.
In their game with Ole Miss, throwing golf balls at Lane Kiffin on the sidelines.
Gosh.
Like, Ole Miss had to, like, abandon their sidelines and leave the stadium, or leave the field. There's already thought that Tennessee is going to be fined $1 million by the SEC today for that, what went on Saturday
throwing
night.
Golf balls at the players and coaches.
And then they rushed the field after the game, and people were trying to get after Lane Kiffin. I mean, they're going to get docked $1 million. But I thought that was the worst thing I'd heard or seen. I mean, there's low class, and then there's no class. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm barring my brother from coming to football games.
Oh, I can cut him off. I mean, he can go buy his own ticket, but he can't get back in the suite with his fiance.
Oh, she took a picture on it.
Oh.
She did?
Yep.
I mean, that's for Sean Taylor. That's for the football team. That's not for them.
This is in Washington.
Yeah,
have
that's
some respect,
silly.
Man. I mean, seriously, he didn't. Does he think he's paying? Like, Sean Taylor was on his way to being one of the great players of his generation.
One of the great safeties of all time, I believe.
Gunned down in his own home by
protecting
a home invasion.
Family, yeah.
Yeah, home invasion.
Got shot in the artery in his thigh.
Well, Patrick, died, brother, was back and playing good yesterday against that, what we thought was a good Washington defense.
Which you said, they're not as good as we think, that's
terrible.
For sure.
That's the most underachieving unit maybe in all of NFL football so far this year. But, man, that is... There's low class and then there's no class.
That goes under the no class category.
Same
Come
with,
on, Jackie. What's his name? Jackson?
What
Jackson
name?
Mahomes?
Yeah, Jackson.
Can't go to games anymore.
Nope.
Also, Tennessee fans, shame. $1 million fine coming your way. And the LSU Tigers are going to give Ed Orgeron $18 million not to coach their team.
That's a buyout plan right there for him.
What it costs. They're moving on. Details coming on all those things, plus what the heck with the Longhorns. Outscored 41-7 in the fourth quarter of their last two games. Both losses, obviously. Now the bye week. How can you fix it? We'll debate. Coming back, B&E on the Horn.